You guys enjoy this morning so far? My wife likes the word power. I don't know why. This morning I woke up and I prepared a message. And then I felt God begin to get me to change it. Hey, Clinton. How are you, my man? Hey, it's good to see you. How's Blake? He's good. Okay. So, Tian, you'll never believe what my scripture is, my main scripture this morning. What do you think it is? Not by might. Not by power, but by my spirit. You know what? Most of us have heard the scripture, but we actually don't know the background. We don't know the context and how it actually works. So it actually loses a lot of power on you when we look at this. So in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, it says, So he said to me, talking about the angel, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." The background of this scripture was Israel had gone back to fix the temple. And so while I'm walking as I'm getting my steps up on my thing, okay. And so we see Zerubbabel, he sees the angel, and we often then quote the scripture of not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's not actually what happens. It's not actually what happens. We need to, as people, we need to stick to the pattern that God has given us. Do you know that? That there's a pattern to what God wants us to do. It's not, we can't just carry on with what we want to do. God has given us a pattern in the Old Testament, and he wants us to live in that pattern now in the New Testament. So we see the angel exhorting Zerubbabel to do things in his own strength, but to be reliant on God's Spirit. And this is where the picture of gold comes in. Because in the temple, there was so much gold. Everything was in gold. And there was this huge bowl where the gold, actually, the liquid actually flowed over into the bowl below. And that just speaks about the overflow of what God wants to do in our life. But he wants us to work in his pattern. Do you know what not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, actually means? What the angel was saying. He was saying, not by military power or political power, but by my spirit. You see, the Israelites were looking for a king to rise up and to actually take back the land. And in the same pattern as what Jesus said to them on a regular basis in the New Testament, no, that's not how I want you to do it. I want you to do it in the way that I want you to do it. And so often, just think about this. So often in our life, we've got a scheme. We are going to do this thing in our own strength. We've got a scheme. But actually, God has a plan. He doesn't have a scheme. And so when we go to God, we can't make things happen in our own plan. So in the New Testament pattern, God uses this to speak about the church. So he speaks about the church because he says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God's pattern. There are so many born-again Christians that don't find themselves in church. And this is God's pattern. You see, if you're not working and living in God's pattern, you are not going to be able to kick the doors of hell down. They are going to overwhelm you. So we have to be those that are living in God's pattern. And that pattern, if you read about Peter, it actually means that the revelation of God is God's pattern, not Peter. And so we need to be hearing from God so that we can be forcing back the gates of hell. It has to be that way. That's the way that God has made it. That's why he said that through his son. Jeremiah 29:11. Who knows this scripture? It's another one that I thought everyone would know. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. You see, the devil has a scheme, but God has a plan, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me, and I will come and pray, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Folk, you know what? God has got a plan to prosper you. And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, all of those things. He doesn't want to harm you. But you know what? When you have a scheme, he's going to harm you. Well, he's going to open the door to you being harmed. So many times in my life, I've opened the door to the devil and I've been harmed. I've got a love for motor cars. And so there have been times when I have bought what I considered a better motor car than what I had. And every time I bought a car, I went backwards financially. Other day I was walking around the neighborhood, and I just felt God say to me, look at these houses. And I looked at the houses, and every single house had a crack here and something there and something over there. And I just thought, you know what? We can't live with our value in houses. It's the same with cars. We can't live with our hearts based on cars. We can't do that. I'm not saying you can't have a nice car that doesn't break down and you look, but you can't get yourself into debt to buy a car. In Isaiah 31 and verse 1, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. That word trust means you've got a firm belief in what you have got. It doesn't matter what it is, but you've got a firm belief. You put your belief in that thing. You know what? I put my belief in my car. I ended up paying for a new turbo. You can't put your belief in a car. We've got to be those that are sensitive to the Spirit. My son has for years, apparently from standard 9, grade 11, for those that are young, smoked. And we didn't know about it.
Which child?
Joel, the one whose marriage we've just done. Joel's not born again. He's busy trying to give up smoking at the moment. He is being so crabby and he's being so difficult to be nice to. And yet Peter decided he wasn't going to smoke anymore. And he gave it up immediately, never to be worried again. You know what? We've got to have faith in the simple things. All of us want the big things, but we need to have faith in the simple things so that we can actually live in the blessing of God. You see, yeah, woe to those who go down to Egypt. Egypt in the Old Testament, if you read it, has always got to do with the world. So when we come out of Egypt, we are coming out of the world. And that's why I believe in baptism. It's not the only reason. But baptism, if you remember the Old Testament, the Israelites were chasing the Egyptians were chasing the Israelites. And God opened the sea, they went through, and the Egyptians got killed, all of them. But you see, before you get baptized, you've got the Egyptians chasing you. When you get baptized, you cut off the Egyptians. If you're serious about it, you will cut off the Egyptians. My son, this one, not born again, but at a young age, about when he was about, what, 5 or 6 or 8, he gave his life to the Lord. But it couldn't have been real because he didn't cut off the Egyptians. Guys, when we make that decision, I'm going to be baptized. You need to make that decision and believe in your heart that those Egyptians are going to be cut off from your life. But the Israelites, their belief was in horses and chariots. That's why they went back to the Egyptians to help them fight against other countries. Another picture. A picture of horses and chariots are always to do with your own flesh and your own strength. So wherever you see that in the Old Testament, put it in. I've noticed this church likes to get smacked around the ears. And so they all want to leave because I don't smack people around the ears. But I said to Pat, you know what, today I'm going to smack them around the ears because I feel that's what God said to me to do. So I want to say to you, horses and chariots are your own strength. I want to say to you this morning, what is your strength? What is your belief? I don't know if you remember the Israelites when they were in the desert, they kept on wanting to go back to Egypt. And it says they wanted to go back to garlic and leeks. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to that, eh? I don't mind garlic too much, but leeks, dodgy for me. And my wife really likes garlic. We went out the other night and they said, what do you want with your food? And she said, no, I want garlic. I said, no, then you're not kissing me. So she had garlic because she doesn't kiss me. In Psalm, write this down, Psalm 20 and verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. Don't look to your own strength. Look to the strength of the Lord. Can you see how this is knitting in with what Tion said and how I started? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. All these things, the flesh, looking to what God is standing for. We should not be fighting against what he's standing for. This morning, who do you trust in? Who do you trust in? When you go through a difficult time, who do you trust in? Do you trust in the church, which is the pattern that God has given us? Or do you just withdraw and find it difficult to be with other Christians? Folk, you know what? We need to get into the pattern of God where when we are in a difficult place, we trust the church. We trust that as we stand together with our friends and brothers and sisters, that we actually will prevail against the gates of hell. I'll ask you this morning, do you think the gates of hell have been kicked down? Do you think they have, if you look at the church today? I don't think so. And why is that? It's because the church is not rising up to kick it down. We find ourselves doing stuff that's not really detrimental to the devil. Patty and I, our scariest moment was one day we were at a conference and someone called us up to prophesy over us. And you know what it's like when people call up to prophesy? Yes, I'm going to get a prophetic word now. It's going to be so lekker. And the guy said to us, you are going to become like an oxbow lake, oxbow river. You know what that is, eh? It's when the river in flood, it cuts off the parts, and then slowly that river dies. And he said, this is going to happen if you don't go into the nations and do what I've called you to do. Hey, I had a really good job. Really, I did. I had a good job. I was a production manager with Sappy, and I was on the verge of getting another big promotion, and we got this word. And so I said to Patty, babes, the way we're going to know that this is God is if this promotion that I should be getting does not happen, we know that we need to go. Hey, that's quite, know that we need to go. It's quite cool. But I remember coming to work one day and the labor force were actually toying. Yee, 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 yee. You know that? Ronti, come and do it for us. And I asked them, what's going on? They said, no, the other man's got the job and we want you to have the job. I had to hear God. So we packed up our bags. We couldn't even sell our house. And we went to Nelspruit to go and start a church. It was the scariest day of our life when we said, we are now going to stop working. I remember I cried for 3 days. I was really scared. I had three boys, three young children, and now I had to go to Nelspruit without even selling my house. But you know what? We need to trust in God. Within 6 months, we were earning a full salary in that church. We believed that God wanted us to go. So we also got this story. I don't know if you know this. It says, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." The Lord, for us, he didn't send anyone with us. So I don't know what Moses is whinging about. "But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you." And it carries on. The end of that says, "What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" What will distinguish you and me from others? Not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. That's what will distinguish you. So often people tell me they've heard God. But you know what? God speaks in many ways. He doesn't just speak in one way. And the Word of God says that we need to have, when we hear something, we need to check it out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. And so often, "Oh no, we're going to do this now." No, you're not, man. You're going to... And people say, "Oh, if you've got peace, then you can do it." No, sometimes God will rattle your cage and you won't have peace. Have you ever said, "God has given me peace"? It's not true. Sometimes He'll give you peace, but other times He won't. Sometimes He'll use the gifts, prophecy, all of them. He'll use those to speak into your life as well. The next thing I want to really encourage you in this is that you get the counsel of your leaders. The Word says there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And I want to suggest that you make that the leaders in your life. So Moses said, "I refuse to go unless you go with me, Lord." Another thing is when you are waiting for God to speak to you and you don't hear anything, it means no. It doesn't mean, "Okay, I can go." Really, guys, it means no. And then people come and say to me, "I haven't heard God for ages." I tell them, "When did you last hear them?" They'll tell me, "Oh, back then." I say, "Well, go back then and do what He told you to do, and then you'll begin to hear Him again." So in Mark 11 and verse 22, Jesus says, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God." And then, do you know that word for mountain? Because most of us think, "Oh, how can you move a mountain?" That word for mountain is the word Oros. You know, like the Oros man. It's Oros, and it means unbelief. So you can speak to unbelief and it must go. Not mountains. There are areas in our life where we're doing it in our own strength. And we're doing them out of in a place of unbelief. Okay, I'll ask my wife to tell me the time. Because my watch has gone flat. So I didn't even clock up the steps. So let's finish with this. This is what would happen if you were the governor. So I'm going back to not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You would come and the capstone, the last stone that gets put in place, you have to take that capstone and you have to put it in place. And that stone was heavy. I don't know how they got up there because I don't think they had scaffolding in those days. But he had to put that capstone in place. And so that's where it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Because he was asking God, how am I going to do this? And then just after that, he says, grace, grace. And that means whenever the Jewish nation said something twice, it was a serious thing. You needed to listen. And so grace, grace meant the foundation of the building and the capstone. So he was there in the beginning and he was there at the end. To lay that foundation and to put it in place took a lot of work. To put that capstone up and in the place, it was not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then the other thing is we must not forget God's pattern. Remember I spoke about God's pattern? Uriah, who's the oak who touched the ark? How do you say that name? Uriah, something like that. Uriah was walking next to the Ark of the Covenant, and this ark was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. And so the animals stumbled, and he put his hand out to help, and you would think, hey, you know what, we need to help God. And he just struck him dead right there. See, I don't need your help. You go and find the correct pattern. The correct pattern is to put the ark on the shoulders of the Levites. No other way. We see it happen with Samuel as well and Saul. Samuel tells Saul, you wait until I come and then I'll do the offering. That's the pattern. The prophet does the offering. And so Saul got afraid of the enemy and all sorts of stuff, and he did the offering. And Samuel came walking down the road and he said, what's that sound of the bleating of sheep? And when Saul told him, he said, today, because you haven't looked at the pattern of God, today I've taken the kingdom of Israel from your hands. So important that we live in God's pattern. For me, the pattern is about the church now in the New Testament. It's about when we come together as a people, we can kick down the gates of hell. When we do our own thing and we just are caught up in whatever we want to do, I don't think I'll go to comm this week, or I don't think I'll go to church this week, or you find an excuse. And I'm not just talking about comm and church, I'm talking about fellowshipping together, enjoying one another's company. And God says, you will not kick down the gates of hell. And you will have the gates of hell actually prevail against you. Guys, it's very important. It's very important. I wonder if we could bow our heads. I don't know if you're sitting here this